This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. There is a grand opening at Western Michigan University that celebrates the school's past. Heritage Hall, the new alumni center that sits at the birthplace of what is now Western Michigan University, will have a ribbon cutting on Friday. Public tours are also being given during the weekend. And we're going to discuss what led to what has been known as East Hall, up on the hill in Kalamazoo, becoming the birthplace of Western Michigan University. Jim Thomas is Western Michigan University's Vice President for Development and Alumni Relations. Jim Thomas, thank you for being here.
Gordon, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
So how did this school, the then known as Western Normal School, come to be?
Great question. Great story, too. It's one that I didn't know. And I didn't know it until after I started talking about East Hall to donors as we're slated to build a new alumni center. And it became clear after doing a lot of research that Notre Dame has its grotto and the University of Michigan has its quad, but Western Michigan's always had its Prospect Hill, but no one knew the story. And the story is a good one. I mean, 28 communities back in 1903 around the state were competing for our normal school. They wanted that place to be the home of Western. And Kalamazoo won, and they won, I don't want to call it a fight, but they did win a fight because it was very political and it was a lot of intrigue and there were a lot of moving parts. But we won because the community wanted it here. And it wasn't just one component of the community. I mean, it was business leaders, it was families, it was churches. There were a lot of folks that all weighed in to bring Western here, and they won.
Can we say that there were some main players or some especially important people who led this charge and brought Western Normal School to Kalamazoo?
Yes. Back in 1903, there was a group called the Press Club, and they were the newspaper owners, really, of the time, and business owners. And they would get together. It was quite a large group. It wasn't a small group, but it was a group of about 20 people that were meeting about economic development and how do we make Kalamazoo a better place, how do we improve the human condition. And they were the main advocates that then branched across the whole community. And then later on, when there was a vote for a bond, the women vote played a key role in that. And women at the time were not allowed to vote in national elections, but they were allowed to vote in school board elections. And that carried the day. So it really showed the impact and the influence that everyone in Kalamazoo had on creating Western. And I think it's a story that a lot of folks don't really know.
The constitutional amendment allowing women to vote didn't come till 1919, 1920, something like that.
I think that was it, yes.
Yeah. So we were a ways off from that. Take us through a little bit more of this selection process, because other communities, as you said, 28 in all, were trying to get Western Normal School. So what was going on here? Was the state listening to different proposals? Were they looking for a level of support in each of these communities?
As I understand it, again, this is just through research and talking to smart people, that it came down to location. It came down to the commitment of the community from not just a financial point of view, but also from is there a population to sustain it? Location for sure. And when they showed Prospect Hill, it's interesting that many of the colleges were built on hills. And it's not too far of a leap to say the light on top of the hill will shine for all, etc. And I've used a lot of that in our writings for describing how magical Prospect Hill really is. And when you see Heritage Hall now lit at night, I mean, it's kind of hard not to have your heart take a little skip.
So what was the, if you had to pick a thing or two, and we should note here again, we're looking back through history and, mm-hmm. and perhaps the lens is not perfect as we try to focus on this, but if you had to say what it was that got Kalamazoo to the front of the line in front of these other communities, what would it be?
I think it was the Press Club, and it was the group of a group of influential leaders in the community that said we really have to rally to do this. Other than that, I mean, we don't have really records of what was said and who said what. But we do know that it wasn't just an individual. That, in fact, there is no one individual that anyone could point to that said, well, because of him or her, this school was brought here, which is very unlike many other colleges that I'm aware of where there's always a single named giant that was the advocate for it. And it's very Kalamazoo-like that it was a group of people, not just an individual that we can point to.
Does that also make the relationship between Western Michigan University and Kalamazoo different from the relationships that other towns may have with the university or college which is located in their town?
I believe it does. And I want to be careful that I'm not saying, you know, yeah, we're unique just like everyone else. But I think our intimate relationship with the city of Kalamazoo is key. And I tell this to people all the time when they ask me about Western. I said, yeah, we're too small to be big, and we're too big to be small. And we fit in that little middle zone where we're part of the community, but we're not the only player in the community. And I think it works extremely well for making Kalamazoo a vibrant place.
As you mentioned, you're looking back here at some records which are not necessarily complete, I guess you could say. So how has this story sort of gotten unearthed here as we get very close to the opening of a new alumni center at Western Michigan University?
There were a number of people that were extremely interested in helping me uncover it. Bud Parks was one, and then Sharon Carlson in the archives was just phenomenal. I mean, she helped us really dive into the actual quotes from the original dedication. And a lot of those quotes and a lot of the speakers, I mean, the governor was here. We had the State Board of Education. We had a national figure in higher ed and teaching teachers to teach. And so it was almost a spiritual experience, almost a sense of that it's bigger than just education. It's bigger than just economic development. It's about improving the human condition. And a lot of the sentiment around it was that this is hearkening back to the values of the founding of America, the founding of hard work and dedication and ethics and values and the whole idea of that this is one way that education gives you independence. And that was the whole sentiment about that. It was, as you're listening and reading through these speeches, you get the feeling that this wasn't just about the city of Kalamazoo. It was about the city of Kalamazoo putting it on the deck, but then it was about the whole state and really the whole country. So there was a lot riding on Western success, if that makes any sense.
In a way, have Kalamazoo and Western Michigan University then grown up a bit together? Again, in a way that maybe is more synergistic than another community and university develop at the same time, that's more a little more intertwined just based on this history.
Boy, I see flashes of that all the time, of intricate relationships. And then other times I think, well, gosh, how did we miss that? And I think because of perhaps our size or because of perhaps the complexity of how things are today, that synergy, some of it may have been lost. I think we're trying to recapture it, and a lot of people are working to recapture it and making sure we're connecting the dots. And I hate these meetings, but sometimes, you know, you're sitting there talking to somebody, then you think, well, why didn't you know that? And they look at me and they say, well, why didn't you know that? And I'm thinking, oh, man, we should have known that. And what I mean are, like, things that we could collaborate over or things that, had we only known, we could have done a little more effectively. And I think just like in 1903, I mean, we're learning something every day and trying to be a little bit better.
As you know, there were a lot of people who did not want to see this project proceed this way. They wanted to keep all four buildings up on East Campus. Do you think at the end of the day that what is there is the proper testament to the university's history and its history with Kalamazoo?
Boy, I do. I'll tell you, it was a rough sled in there for a while. I was sitting at the intersection, really, of a lot of history, and I love history. And then looking at the future, and then looking at our alumni base, and looking at the buildings that had certainly way past their ability to be used in a useful way, and others would debate that possibly, but none of that matters. I think what happens now is it's the most worthy thing I've seen. It's turned out way better than I can imagine, but you don't have to take my word for it. I mean, we had a very key donor, I mean, a phenomenal donor, who actually visited, and he brought an entourage with him to just look around and walk the space and hear the story, and I had told him the whole Prospect Hill story, et cetera. And as he's walking around, he came into my office afterward and he said, Jim, I'm interested in doing something to really help this project. And I said, well, that'd be great. I said, well, what were you looking for today? You know, what helped you decide this? He said, I wanted to make sure that this was going to be worthy of my investment. And he said it absolutely is. It is stunning. And I think for those that walk through the space, I think you're going to get a sense of not just history, but you're also going to get a sense of aspiration, because I think it combines both. And as far as the controversy goes, I think there was so much. We had people actually saying, I don't want to be part of that because I don't want it to reflect poorly on my business from a donor point of view because of the controversy. I think a lot of that's way behind us. I have some proof because in our brick sales, with people could name bricks. And again, the way we did our fundraising was very broad-based. I mean, we didn't have a bunch of different gift levels. We didn't make it real complicated. We make it buy a brick or buy a nameplate. It was very simple to help us with the facility and creating it. We actually had a couple people that were very, very outspoken that purchased bricks. And I have a elegant thank you note that I actually pinned on my bulletin board in my office from one of these people that was very direct to me, and a very friendly, but very direct in his disappointment and how we were handling it. But he actually purchased a brick and then wrote a thank you note about how proud he is of what we've done with Heritage Hall. Now, that's not speaking for everyone, but I think it certainly was a tumultuous time, and I think it is absolutely a fitting tribute to Western Michigan.
And if someone has the chance to visit Heritage Hall anytime soon, perhaps for one of the tours being given this weekend, what are some of the things they're going to see that you think really stand out and make this a special sort of project at Western?
Well, my favorite spot is the portico, and that is the balcony that overlooks, it's not really a balcony, but it's the portico that overlooks the Kalamazoo. It is just stunning. When you walk in the main entrance, you're going to see an open area. There's a cafe there. Now, it's not a Starbucks, please, but it's a gathering spot. And we have a 1903 room, which we transferred the fireplace, which was no easy engineering feat, I might add, into that room. So you're going to see pretty much a sense of what it was like back in 1903 and what it's like today from electronic, updated, it's very modern, etc. So you'll see in certain areas, it'll be a flash in the past, and then in certain areas, it's going to be a living, working, beautiful, elegant space that overlooks Kalamazoo. On the upper level is a ballroom that's going to seat about 200 people. It's gorgeous, overlooks, again, the city. We've really saved all of the great spots for the public. So we have some conference rooms there, ballroom. The main floor has small conference rooms for folks. And then there's a gathering space as well. And then the lower level is mostly offices. The Office of Development and Alumni Relations, we also do communications and marketing for development in that space.
And so far, you mentioned a couple people who have gotten back to you and said that they're happy with how it's turned out. Overall, how would you describe the response to date?
Overwhelming. In a period of about a month and a half, we received over 1,600 bricks or gifts, small gifts, but we've named a lot of, now we've named other spaces inside the building that people had toured and said, well, I'd really love to make a gift and be recognized and with a naming opportunity. And we've provided that, although we haven't like sold space. I mean, we're not selling Ginsu knives here. We're honoring philanthropy. And I think we've done a very, very elegant way of recognizing those who've helped us. So it's from the bricks to our donor wall. One of the other things that we've added was this interactive storyboard. I've never felt that it was enough just to have someone's name on a wall. So we created, through some phenomenal assistance of Catherine Vandermas and Renee Pearl, an electronic storyboard where people that have made a gift include their story. They can send a picture in there, and then they can write their story, or we'll write it for them. And we've had over 1,000 of those that have come in. And they're amazing stories to read, stories of a little bit of financial aid that helped somebody through their last term, or first-generation college students, or I met my wife, or I met my husband, or it was on our first date we stood by the fireplace. I mean, it was unbelievable, these stories that we would have never captured. And that's my concern, is that we do capture these stories going forward.
In part because you're looking back now and a lot of the stories of Western's founding seem like they were not fully captured from that time.
You just captured it. Now, Gordon, that's it. That's the problem, is they weren't captured. And they were captured anecdotally, but a lot of folks, I mean, if you're working in a large company, we'll just use, I won't use a specific example, but we hosted an event out of town at a company that employs a lot of Broncos. And we were talking about Heritage Hall, of course, and Western. And at the meeting itself, people were saying, well, I didn't know you were a Bronco. I didn't know you were a Bronco. And I'm thinking, well, part of me was happy that we were introducing Broncos to Broncos, even though they worked right down the hall. The other part was a little disappointed in how we were doing it, where why aren't Broncos proud to be Broncos? And I think that's changing. I've gotten a lot of feedback that some of our engagement efforts have been working and they're happier about it and they're connecting and we're doing a lot of engagement activities around the country. But I think that's how I will define success, is when I'm hearing Broncos bragging to other Broncos or even to anyone that they're from Western.
Jim Thomas, thank you very much for your time.
Gordon, thank you for all you do for WMU. Thank you.
Jim Thomas is Vice President for Development and Alumni Relations at Western Michigan University. Heritage Hall, the new Alumni Center at Western, will have its grand opening this weekend. For WMUK's West Southwest, I'm Gordon Evans.